thank you guys very much. Good stuff. Thank you. Well, good morning. Did anybody have a hard time getting out of bed this morning? Well, I woke up this morning, I was like, is that thunder? And then I realized it's Sunday, so it must be raining. And I just want you to know, it was just as hard for me to get up as it was for you to get up. And I was reminded of a pastor once. It was Father's Day, and he woke up early, and it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful morning. And he thinks to himself, he goes, man, he goes, every Sunday I have to go to church. And every Father's Day I have to work. And he goes, not this one. And so he sneaks off into his closet and he gets his cell phone and he dials up the associate pastor and he goes,
hey, Chris, I'm just not going to make it this morning. I need you to step in and yeah, I know you can. Yeah, I'll see you soon.
He grabs his golf clubs and heads out to the golf course. And it is gorgeous. He's the first one on the box. His is their only prints in the tee box. He tees it up. Par three. Best he's ever done on this hole was a bogey. Tees it up, strikes it. And it is long, and it is straight, and it is beautiful. And it hits the green and begins to roll. And he leans up on his tippy toes, and it rolls, and it goes into the hole. And Gabriel says, God, why would you give him that? He's not in church. He lied to his associate pastor. And you give him a hole-in-one, and God says, who's he going to tell? Well, it's good to see you guys this morning. And it's not my habit to teach holiday messages and things, but we hit a special time, and it was good. And I just got to tell you, I'm fired up about being a man today, and I'm fired up about being a dad today. And so, it needs to say, I'm fired up, so just get ready. Just get ready. So, today's topic is Tough Dad Challenge, and our notes are available to you on YouVersion. Now, let me just say this, guys. If you're here today and you're not a father, this is not an excuse for you to tune out, because you may not be a father, but you're a man, and men lead people. Amen? Right. Every one of us men, whether we're the older, the more seasoned, the crown of wisdom wearing, or the younger, like those sitting up in the bleachers there. Hey, wait a minute, I thought you left already. Well, that was a Facebook false start. I wept in vain. But whether you're seasoned or whether you're younger or any point in between, men, we lead people somewhere. And the message today isn't just for those of us that have the privilege of being a father, but for every man, because what our nation needs today are men who lead people somewhere toward God. So don't tune out, because I can tell I'm a man. If you go to that place and you're a waffle, I'll see you. And because it's Father's Day, I might call you out, because I'm not going to offend a lady, because they're going, well, finally, the men are getting theirs. Well, you know, my wife told me, she goes, what are you teaching on Sunday? I said, well, you know, Dad's message. She goes, well, it's probably fair, because you've been teaching on Ruth for 8 weeks. And I said to her, well, see, I only had to teach the men 1 week. I had to teach ladies 8 weeks. No, I did that on purpose. Just see if they're listening. See, I was trying to draw the men off sides, because then they'd have to listen to me by shame. Because if you went, amen, you're, oh. So, but I do want to wish you guys a happy Father's Day to you. And I want to wish a happy Father's Day to my dad, John Reeves. He's probably with us by the webcast. And when I saw this cartoon, I thought, this is absolutely true. You know, my dad is my Superman. I'm 50 years old and my dad is my Superman. And I pray that I'm the Superman to my parent, my kiddos. And I just want to say thank you guys. You're Supermen. If you are living and honoring and working and all the things we're going to talk about today, you're Superman. I was thinking this last week, we were talking about going against the tide of society. And we often think about a river, and you know, anything can jump into a river and just go with it. And then someone says, well, you got to stand against a river. Well, the thing about it is a pylon can stand against the river, but it's not really accomplishing anything but standing still. What we need and what we desire and what we absolutely need is men who are going counter the river. And that's who you are. And that's what makes you a Superman. Any dead wood can float down the river, and any pylon can stand against it. But only a superhero can swim against it. So happy Father's Day to you. I hope you have a great day. If you had things planned this morning for outside, it's okay. It's going to clear up. If you're going to go play golf, those greens will be nice and slow for you. So happy Father's Day to you. Today we're talking about being dads and how to win the contest. And I was thinking about some famous dads. Now, I'm just going to say this. I was thinking about famous dads. Famous dads. Famous dads. And you're going to see why. So let's look at a few. How about this? Luke, I am your father. Now, how about that? Now, that's the picture of dysfunction when you cut your own son's hand off. How long before the movie comes out? December? Who's going to go see it? How many of you are going to dress up to go see it? Scott, get your hand up. I know you are. Someone said, are you in? I said, are you kidding me? It's the greatest movie ever made, Princess Leia. I married her twice. Even though she was wearing cinnamon buns on the side of her head. That girl was hot. Another famous movie dad, how about this? Ralphie! Oh, man, I love that picture. Although it plays for like 6 years every Christmas. How about this? Some presidential fathers. This is President Kennedy and his little girl. Man, what a beautiful picture. I mean, wow, just an incredible picture there. And one of my favorite presidents and his dad. If you notice, George the senior there, his tie has parachutes on it, much like someone back there who's been parachuting. Yeah, I see you right there. Okay. And then, you know, this. If you don't know, it's okay. If you do know, TV famous dad. You might know this one. My wife knows that one. Honey, that one was for you. How about some sports dad? Who are these? Who's the guy in the middle? Archie. Not the comic book, but the father of the two. Can you imagine? Look at these. How about that for a dad? You think he's a little proud? Man, all right. How about this sports dad? Look at dad. Rabbit ears. My girl just beat up your girl. Rabbit ears. Yeah, yeah. Muhammad Ali being cool. He's like, what are you going to do, hit me? But Muhammad Ali. And then one last famous father. I said famous. So, hey, listen, I'm proving to you, when you come to ALF, you never know. I can promise you this, that photo has not been shown in any other church this morning in Greenville, Texas. Who do we want to please, men? The question we have to answer in life is, who are we out to please? And as I was thinking about this, in life, as a man and as a father, there's really three players in this question. There's others, and that includes spouses, children, bosses, coworkers, all those. There's myself, and then there's God. And I think about the patterns in which we may put this, and one of the predominant patterns is this. Myself on the top, others in the middle, and God on the bottom. If I can please others, then surely I can please God. We have that right there. Problem with that is that's self-centered, and true love isn't self-centered. And then there's the other side where maybe, you know, a man will put God first, himself in the middle, and then others underneath him. The problem there is we're subjecting everyone else under ourselves, and that's not really biblical love. And then, you know, we can think of it in a linear, you know, a side-by-side, others first, and then myself, and then God. But the question we have to ask ourselves, men, is who do we want to please? If we want to please ourselves first and foremost, that makes us self-centered, and it is also going to make us unsuccessful in the attempt at the other two. If we want to please others first, that's noble, but I'm going to tell you this, it's going to frustrate you, and it's going to make you eventually not want to please them, and because you know what happens is if you live just to please others, others take advantage of you. And you feel unappreciated, and somewhere in life you're going to go, well, just never mind then. I'll just move myself back up to the number one position, and the rest of you can go slop hogs. Or, if we'll put God first, ourselves below the Father, and others, because the Bible says to love God as he loves me, and then to love others as I love me, then I have a formula by which I may succeed in this little thing called life. And today, we've got four quarters. I've got four things I want us to talk about. So if God is the person who's primary, if he is the individual you want to please most, how do we do it? Hebrews chapter 11 tells us this, and without faith it is impossible, let's say that together, impossible. There's a new one coming out, by the way. Can't believe the guy can still make those kind of movies. But it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If we want to please God first, we must do it by faith. Everything else is impossible. You can't clean up. You can't all the things that we in our minds think we can do. It begins with faith, and in that faith, a relationship with him. And in that relationship with him, as Chris said last week so excellently, a transformation of the man I once was into the man I'm going to become. It is impossible without faith. Psalms tells us this: the king is not saved by a mighty army, and a warrior is not delivered, in the parentheses are my insertion, of by his own great strength. I can't save me. And men, you can't save yourselves. Men, I'm here to tell you, you can't do it alone. It's a noble thought. It's a courageous thought. It's a faulty thought. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot ever hope to be who we deeply desire to be of our own accord. We need somebody. Somebody higher than those to our left and to our right. As good as they are. I look in this room at this cloud of witnesses, and I love you and I value you and you strengthen me, but I need something more than you. And my friends, you need something more than me. We go on. Faith is not the absence of fear of failure, but a deep desire to be obedient and faithful in spite of them. Gentlemen, faith is not a lack of fear. Do you ever fear like you can't do it? Welcome to the club! The first time you look into that little baby's eyes, you're like, oh, I'm not man enough for this. You're right, you're not. And I saw that in the eyes of a newly groomed young man just the other night, looking into the eyes of his bride, and I could hear it in his voice. I don't know if I'm man enough for this. You're right! We were talking about how much when we got married, honey, I hope this doesn't surprise you. When we got married, in my mind, I thought I had it all figured out. And in retrospect, I realized I didn't know anything. The one thing I did know was I wanted to spend the rest of my life with that lady. Everything else was up for grabs. It's not the absence of fear. And my brothers, it's not the absence of failure, because we will fail. We will put the ball on the ground. We will boot the routine grounder. It'll happen. But faith is not the absence of those things. Faith is the desire to be obedient in spite of them. Even when I don't feel like it, even when I don't feel like I deserve it, and even when others don't think I am, I want to be. So quarter number one is the fearless father, a warrior. Now, we don't like to talk about this today because we've gotten so PC, somebody's going to think Jimmy's inciting riots. Jimmy's calling people to arms. My friends, understand this. If we as men are going to win the game of life, we must be warriors of the faith. Like I said, any dead piece of wood can float down a river, but you got to be a pretty strong swimmer to go against the tide. You need to be a warrior. The Exodus tells us this: the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Who is God warring against? He's warring against the adversary. He's warring against sin in our world. He's warring against the outcomes of sin in our world. And the ultimate battle was won on the cross of Calvary. God is not worried about the outcome, because the outcome is assured. It's the process to the end. And we stand here today and we pray for Charleston. And the gunman literally held hands with the pastor he gunned down in prayer. And that church rightfully says, God, why would you do this? And God says, I'm warring for the hearts of lost people. And they go, but why my pastor? He's a saved one. And sometimes you sacrifice to gain. God is a warrior. And he's warring for the hearts and the minds of those who do not know him yet. He's warring for the eternal destination of those who do not know him yet. God is a warrior. And he's battling every day. He's battling with you and for you and in you and through you. And we are called to be warriors. Unashamedly, I stand in opposition to the things of this world. Unashamedly, I stand for what God says is truth. And if I stand alone, then let me stand alone. But God is a warrior for me, and I will be a warrior for him. Open-handed, loving, kind, generous, all those things, but a warrior nonetheless. The fearless father, the warrior is shaped by his convictions, and it's those convictions that call him to remain dedicated. God is a warrior because of his holiness, and he wars for his holiness. You see, it's what we're dedicated to that calls us to fight. But if we're not dedicated to it, then there's no fight to it. There's nothing worse than a teammate that doesn't have any conviction for his team. And you know what? Millions of dollars do not provide conviction. If anything else, it provides distraction. You see, the warrior is shaped by his convictions, and those convictions call him to dedication day by day, moment by moment, decision by decision. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the power of darkness of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I'm not warring against mankind. That's why I can love them, but I'm warring against the evil that influences mankind. That's why I can pray for Bruce Jenner. That's why my heart breaks for Bruce Jenner. How terrible it must be in his heart and his mind. And know this, God loves Bruce Jenner. And he still loves him, even if he calls himself Caitlyn Jenner. And if Caitlyn Jenner humbles her heart before the Lord, she can be saved too. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not warring against Islamic terrorists. I'm warring against the evil behind them. I'm not warring against Bruce Jenner. I'm warring against the evil behind. You see, we have to realize, well, who our battle's against. Because here's the thing, men. One decision or a series of decisions, you can find yourself right where they are. I haven't forgotten what it's like to live like the devil. I just choose not to go down the path any longer. When we as men begin to think ourselves better than other men, then we've missed it completely. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords saw it nothing to lay his life down for me. A warrior. Secondly, we must be a walker. Not that kind of walker. If you don't get it, it's okay. It's layers. Who is this? Frank Sinatra. Is that not a good-looking man right there? Can I say that? Man, I'm telling. Look at that. I mean, that is that not charisma? And man, he had a song that he made famous, and I Did It My Way. Love that song, right? I love Elvis's rendition of it even more than his, I think. But it's a great song, but it's very poor theology. It's very poor theology. Men, we don't want to do it our way because our way only gets our results. The Bible tells us in Leviticus, you shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. You see, if we're going to be a warrior for God, if we're going to win the tough dad challenge, we're going to have to walk in the Lord. It's not a sprint. See, many guys want to sprint for a week, or maybe they'll sprint for a month, or who knows, they might even have the stamina to sprint for a year. But my friends, I'm telling you, this is a lifetime journey. I'm 27 years in, and you know what? I'm running better today than I did 27 years ago. But I'm walking, because I can't run 27 years. I might be able to run further than I used to, but I promise you, we've got to walk in the Lord day by day, moment by moment, decision by decision, generation by generation, president by president. We're walking, men. We're walking, paced, intentional, realizing that we're in this for the long haul. Deuteronomy tells us this: you shall walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live. Does anyone want to live life? Or do you just want to endure it? You want to spend all of your life hoping for tomorrow? Well, today's terrible, but there's always retirement. If you get there, listen, guys, nothing chomps my bits more to hear a guy talking about retirement. If you get there, live your life today. I've buried many a man who put all of his treasures in tomorrow and never made it to tomorrow. We need to live for today with tomorrow in mind. But I want to live. I don't know what movie it was. I was hoping to get that clip. I want to live. What? That it may go well with you. Is anyone else? Is there anywhere that likes life just to go terrible for you? Well, it's Father's Day. I hope life goes terrible today. That it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land and that you shall possess. He says, if you walk in me, you'll live and it'll go well with you. Now, don't hear the health, wealth, and prosperity. That doesn't mean your bank account goes up and your car gets bigger and you actually have a boat at the lake. Living well is a million times better than what the world provides. He says this, that the thief, the process of this world comes what? To steal, kill, and destroy. We have two choices. We have God's way or the world's way, and the world's way will destroy you. But God's way says what? That you might have life. There's that word again. What? And more abundantly. Who has more stuff? Who has more ability? Who has eternity in mind? God. And I want God's abundance more than my abundance, because I can't muster a lot of abundance. The world comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And man, we choose every day, the world or the walk. And when you choose the world, there's a payday someday. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. There's a payday someday, but it's coming. And then the Bible warns us, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, yet loses his immortal soul? There's a payday some way. The world's way or the walk? To walk with the Lord is a single choice, evidenced by thousands more single choices that over a course of one's lifetime will prove to be your journey of faith. It's not one decision. It's one decision and then millions of other decisions. You see, men, it's not a one-and-done proposition for us. If we're going to be warriors and we're going to be walkers and we're going to be winners, we've got to choose every day to walk the way of the Lord. And then at the end of it, people will go, wow, look at that life. Do you ever sit and think about your life? I will. I'll tell you this. I don't have a problem talking about me. I sit and I think, wow, look at my life. I don't deserve this. This is exceedingly and abundantly more than I ever dreamed I would have. And you know why? It's because of the Lord. And you know why? Because to His glory, I've chosen to walk the walk more often than I've chosen the way of the world. That's what you want. That's what I want. That's what your family wants. Oh, we got to hurry up. The third one is this, the weeper. Oh, no. Jimmy, we're men. We don't talk about weeping. Listen, men. If we ever become so hard, the things don't touch us deeply. Not only will the world not touch you deeply, but neither will the Spirit of God. Because the same heart that hardens towards other people can harden towards God. And we see in the scriptures and Psalms the sacrifice of God or a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I need to weep over my sins. When I sin, it needs to break my heart. Because it breaks my Father's heart. When I sin, I disappoint me. And when I sin, it very well could have a lasting effect in the lives of others. You see, if we're going to win the tough dad challenge, we have to be men who can weep over our sins. Not dismiss them, justify them, or otherwise ignore them. The old phrase, do as I say, not as I do, just doesn't hold water, man. The world needs to watch us and walk with us, not make excuses for our sins. We need to have a heart that breaks after the things that breaks God. We need to weep over our sins. Now, we can't spend all day weeping over them. Listen, we fumble the ball. I fumbled the ball Thursday. Fumbled it. Funny story. It's getting more funny now. Yeah, if you ever want to hear it, I don't like to fumble the ball. Man, I want to bat 1,000. I know I'm not going to bat 1,000, but I want to bat 1,000. And when I fail, when I sin, I want it to break my heart, and I want it to break it good. But also, the Bible tells us in John 11, not only if we're going to win the tough dad challenge does our sin need to break our heart, but the state of our world has to break our heart as well. This passage, the shortest passage in all the Bible, Jesus wept, transpires at the burial tomb of Lazarus, and everyone discusses over what he was weeping about. Here's the thing. Jesus was weeping over many things, and one of them was the condition of mankind because of the tainting of sin. You know, don't get angry at Bruce Jenner. Let your heart break for Bruce Jenner. Don't get angry at ISIS. Let your heart break for ISIS. Don't get angry at your president. Let your heart break for your president. Let your heart break for the things that breaks the Father's heart. Let us walk in humility with a broken heart. Your co-workers, your family members, your neighbors. When you see them, what do you see? Does it break your heart? Not that you're better than them. Not that, man, I wish you'd just listen to the advice I keep giving you over and over and over. But does it break your heart? I can tell you this. I sat just this week in my office with a couple with documents signed for divorce. And my heart broke for them. I thought to myself, only if they could have what I enjoy. Only if they could have what I have. Oh. I will say this, to the glory of the Lord, there seems to be a glimpse of hope. But it breaks our hearts. If we're going to win the tough dad challenge, we have to be a weeper. Then lastly, we have to be a worker. I was told nothing of value comes without hard work. And man, that goes for us too. Remember, we were talking about those three groups in our lives, God, ourselves, and others. Well, I thought of three areas that we must work first. Ephesians tells us this, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I've got to work for my bride. Because under God only is my bride. And she deserves for me to be a man after God's own heart. She deserves for me to work for her. And that means in submission, even when I wake up and had a terrible dream that my wife left me. You know why she left me? Not because of my job, not because I'm a little overweight, not because I really can't sing that great. She left me because I just wasn't funny anymore. Oh, yeah. Now that hurts. I woke up, and you know, and your first thing is, you go, oh, well, thank God it was just a dream. And she goes, what are you doing today? I said, I'm getting over being mad at you. She sent me a text later, I still think you're funny. That's right. Hey, you can have it too. Come walk with me. But man, we've got to work and be warriors for our spouses. And I just want to say this. Men, we should revere the women in our lives. Not just the ladies that allowed us to become fathers. But we should revere them. We should respect them. We should serve them. It begins with her. Because if I do not have the testimony of the Lord to her, the Scripture says I'm unworthy to lead you. I've got to work there. And then, Jeff, I'm tearing up right now. Thought of you. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Friday night, Jeff took that beautifully sculpted arrow, notched it, drew that bow back, and let it go. It's terrible, but it's awesome. And you see, man, father, being a father doesn't mean just bringing home a paycheck. We're shaping tomorrow. Arrows being launched into the future. My daughter sitting at an indoor football arena with her husband right now. Set that arrow loose. And my other arrow is sitting up there. But shaping the impact for tomorrow. You know, the only thing that's going to last beyond me is my kids and the influence that they'll make in their lives. I've changed some things in my family tree. Perhaps that's your goal too. And I believe it's going to carry on because my bride and I shaped those arrows good. That's great English right there. And then thirdly, Luke 10. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What our world needs, men, is us. And I just want to say this, not because of any other reason than it's true. I am so proud of ALF and the men that we have. If you look statistically, most churches are way disproportionate, the ladies to the men. And I'm not kicking ladies. You know me well enough. But, you know, God designed us both. We're to be in partnership with this. And I am so proud of you men. I'm proud ALF has men who are faithful and strong. And the world needs us, men. The world wants us. They now know they want us, but they want us. And I'm quoting that movie right now. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall. It's awesome. Does anyone have something I can shoot? I am pumped up right now. I am ready to roll. Let's get done. Let's get done, shall we? And then lastly, you want to be a winner. And listen, winning isn't being born and then dying with a lot of time in between it. That's not winning. I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather be born and die young and live well than to live decades upon decades upon decades and just marking time. Come on, really? Hey, life isn't measured in the number of years. Life is measured in the quality in those years. And give it to me. You know, God, I hope God takes me all at once. When He chooses to do it, Lord, just take all of me. Maybe we'll all be on a plane together. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, it's Jimmy's time. Well, Miss Sylvia's on the plane. Well, she can come too. But to be a winner, Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, His pathway, His walk, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Don't you like and? Don't you like to get more? Oh, you'd like a steak today? Would you like some free and? Yes. Well, God says we can have and what? Well, glad you asked. Fruit of the Spirit, love. Anybody want a little less love? Man, I wish I just loved people a little less. Or joy, or peace. How about this? I wish I was a little less peaceful. A little more would do me well. Forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does anyone ever go, you know, I wish I could live a little more out of control? Against such things there is no law. God says if we follow him, we'll be winning because he will add these things to us. And if you knew the young me, and there was a young me at the wedding the other night, because I looked over there and I nudged my wife. I said, you see that guy right there? She goes, yeah. I go, I recognize that. That was me. And then it goes on. Now to him who is able, who? God. To do far more abundantly. God says, I'll add this to you. And, what? And. All that we ask or think according to the power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. God says, I'll give you that and exceedingly and abundantly more. I'm liking this more and more. So we started off our time together looking at some famous fathers. Now the question we have to answer today, men, is this. Who do we want to be famous to? Who do we want to be famous to? CNN? ESPN? Greenville? Who do we want to be famous to? That question will have a great effect on the direction of your life. Joshua 24:15, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, says this, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you'll serve. Just be honest. Make a choice. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites whose land you're living in now, but for me as my house, we'll serve the Lord. Let me tell you where I want to be famous. In the heart of my bride and in the heart of my children. Everything else, gravy. Except one. Zephaniah tells us this. Then the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt you over with joy. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I'm going to tell you what. I don't care who shouts over me out there, as long as he shouts over me. Amen? That's where I want to be famous. In the eyes of my Lord, everything else is gravy. If I get a statue in the courtyard one day, awesome. It's not good. If you guys do that, I don't believe in ghosts, but I'll haunt you. But where do we want to be famous, men? Do I want to be famous to my employer? That's important. But will I sacrifice my fame at home for my employer? Do I want to be famous in the news? Do I want to be famous in athletics? I called my son-in-law this morning before he went to play his football game, and I prayed over him. And my prayer was this, Lord, keep him safe. Let him compete to the best of his ability, and may his character outshine everything else. That everything he says and everything he does will bring glory to him and honor to his bride. Because I want the Father to shout over him more than I want the fans to shout over him. Men, I want the Lord to shout over you. I want the Lord to shout over us. I want to be with you winning the Tough Dad Challenge. And guys, we can. We must. We must win. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank you for this day. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the responsibility of being called Father. And we pray for our children today, Lord.